He just began to talk to us. I think he was very lonely, but he began by saying this was the last time he would ever come to Kansas. This was it.
Yeah, we actually started our program by asking how far will an artist go for his work? Do you think that Capote went too far?
That actual waiting, it went on for years, and he went kind of crazy in my mind. When are they going to, hang them so I can finish my book? He became obsessed with the wrong things.
When Truman was preparing the book, he wrote, "God knows I have wonderful material and lots of it, over 4,000 typed pages of notes. Sometimes when I think about how good it could be, I can hardly breathe." So many good things came from In Cold Blood. It made many Americans question their stance on capital punishment. It spawned a whole genre of literary true crime. Whether that's a good or a bad thing is up to personal taste. It certainly made Truman Capote one of the most lauded writers of the 20th century. But his total immersion in this story, the blurring of fact and fiction that happened, came at a huge personal cost. He fell out with his oldest friend, Harper Lee, reportedly over his jealousy that she'd won a Pulitzer Prize, which he desperately wanted for In Cold Blood. He said that he regretted ever picking up that newspaper article about a murder in Kansas. And he was never able to produce anything of length again. In Cold Blood was the last book Truman Capote would ever complete.
Literary Pursuits was presented by Corin Throsby. The reader was Kerry Shale, and it was produced in Bristol by Miles Ward. At the same time next week, an edition of Between the Ears looking into the realness of fakeness in the work of the Icelandic performance artist Ragnar Kjartansson. All of Radio 3's Sunday features are available as podcasts on BBC Sounds.
BBC Sounds.
Imagine you're a volunteer in a refugee camp. In the crowd, a man begs you to take his daughter to Britain.
Why wouldn't you believe what he said when he's stuck in a refugee camp?
You risk everything to save her, but you get caught and discover you've been lied to.
He leaned over and put handcuffs straight on me. Thought, ooh, I'm in a bit of trouble here now.
Join the journalist Sue Mitchell on the hunt for a missing child.
Do you think he is watching you?
My ex-husband stole my daughter.
One of these two people is a pathological liar.
Girl Taken. Listen to the full podcast series on BBC Sounds.
Here on BBC Radio 3, Haydn, Ravel, Grieg and Shostakovich are all on the menu when Fiona Talkington takes a world tour with recordings from Germany, the USA and New Zealand in Radio 3 in concert at 9 o'clock tonight. But before that, this week's Drama on 3. And tonight, the world premiere of a previously unproduced Anthony Burgess screenplay. Schreiber, originally written as a star vehicle for Burt Lancaster, is a drama inspired by the book Memoirs of My Nervous Illness by Daniel Schreiber, a German High Court judge. In the late 19th century, he had a series of nervous breakdowns and spent extended periods in hospital. His book is a portrait of his time there, giving an insight into what it is to be mentally ill. And this radio adaptation of it by Jeff Young evokes Schreiber's oppressive childhood and constrained adult life, as well as his time in hospital. Christopher Eccleston plays the title role now in Schreiber.
Your Honour, in ancient times, the punishment for patricide, for killing one's own father, was grotesquely cruel, matching the horror of the crime. Traditionally, it has been held that there could be no worse crime than to take the life of him who gave you life. And so the Romans tied the murderer of his own father in a sack with an ape and a parrot and a snake and hurled him into the sea. We do not today make distinctions in modes of capital punishment, but we continue to recognise the peculiar horror, the peculiar unnaturalness of this particular crime. Good God, Bratch. No provocation is extreme enough to justify a murder.
I have told my story. I extenuate nothing. All I say is that the provocation was extreme.
But killing one's own father... Forgive me, my pills.
Cannot we forget the emotional associations of the words, Your Honour? I killed a man who happened to be my father. I killed, in self-protection, I killed a man who did everything to obstruct my career and ruin my marriage. A man who had failed as a husband and failed as an artist, who could not bear to see his son succeed in either sphere. He even hired thugs to break in and smash my piano.
We have already heard this. The court, I believe, has shown extreme tolerance.
You speak of tolerance to a man you're about to commit to the state executioner.
The plea is guilty and the verdict is guilty. You have heard how Johannes Brach, a musician, a man whose life should have been devoted to peace and beauty, took a knife in anger to his father and stabbed him repeatedly and savagely, even when he was already dead. I find no extenuating circumstances, no grounds for compassion or mercy. The judgment of this court... The judgment of this court is that... The judgment of this court is... The judgment of this court... Thinking, Sabina. Trying to think.
I know what you're thinking.
Shh, now. You need to rest.
You're thinking we may never have children. You're worried that I can't give you a child.
I worry about you, my love. Nature can be very cruel to a woman.
You don't mean that. You don't mean it at all. It isn't nature you resent, whatever nature is.
Let's talk about God, then. But we won't say God is cruel, will we? That would be terrible. Let's say that God, in his infinite wisdom, blesses some and not others. A great mystery. We blame nobody. We certainly don't blame God.
Oh, you blame me. You're blaming me now for the fifth time, and then there'll be a sixth time. I can't stand it. I can't put up with it.
It's your little body that can't put up with it. Your body rejects life. Nobody's fault. No blame. Just one of God's mysteries. How do you feel, my love?
Better. But still weak.
It breaks my heart. Let's put off hope. Live without hope. Perhaps that's the only way to live with this. There will be two of us, just the two. We will be happy. Look at this photograph of my family.
I can't bear to.
A full quiver. Father, mother, myself, brothers, sisters. Father always talked of a man's duty to the future. Look at the photograph.
Oh, Daniel, I can't bear to.
In my thoughts, I hear the words of the pastor at Father's funeral. The name Schreiber shines like a great sun. Do you hear it? The name shines like a great sun. What if that great sun is now extinguished?
It is but a small portion of him that lies there in that coffin. The name Schreiber shines like a great sun through the state of Saxony and irradiates even the furthest confines of the German Empire. It was Germany he loved, Germany he believed to be the sacred repository of all human strength and virtue. And so his life was dedicated to the elevation of the German race, physically, mentally, spiritually. His books will be studied so long as the race lasts. His system of eurythmics and calisthenics will inspire generations yet unborn to the betterment of the German soul and the body that houses it. ¶¶
away from the piano, Daniel.
The battle between his own soul and the body that housed it. Man in constant torment.
This blessed migraine.
A little eau de cologne on a handkerchief, dear. Or some very strong coffee. Coffee is said to be very good for headache.
No, nothing. It will pass. It is a matter of control. The mind controlling the body. The mind must always be in control. The body is the servant. The body must obey.
My poor love. You're in real pain, I can see that. Let me help.
Don't touch me. Real pain. Pain is never real. The mind says no to the body. I will deny the pain's reality. I will banish it. Alone.
Gustav, Daniel, Clara, be quiet.
Pain is only real when it is punishment. I am not being punished, ergo there is no pain. But I think there must now be some punishment.
Please don't touch the children. It will only make the pain worse.
There's glory in the pain of punishment. It is the only way.
Please don't touch them. Please don't hurt the children. Please don't touch them. Please don't hurt the children. Please don't touch them.
Obedience, Gustav. Obedience! You must love the law, which in your case is the word of your father. You must love to obey. You must glory in the pain of the punishment that makes you obey. Daniel, come here.
Please don't hurt me, Father.
Hold still, Daniel. Why do I do this to your brother, Gustav?
To make him obey, Father.
Run in circles now, all of you. Come along, pick yourself up, Gustav.
I can't, Father.
You, girl, what is my deeper aim?
I don't understand, sir. Father.
Come now, Clara. To what must we dedicate our lives?
To being a model for the youth of Germany, Father.
Faster, Gustav. Faster, Daniel. Make your body go faster. Your body is the servant of your will.
No. Gustav. He's not well, Father. He needs to rest.
Leave him. Leave him. Do not break the circle. Now, sir, I give you to the count of five to rise to your feet. One, two, three.
Father, please.
Touch toes. Up. Down. Up. Down.
Father.
Stop. What do you think you're doing, sir?
I have to be.
He has to be sick, Father. Sir.
Control. Control. When will you learn that life is a matter of control?
Come on, Gustav. Hush now. Remember the lullaby we used to sing? Sleep now, little one. Sleep tight beneath the moon. Watch your worries sail away. Sleep tight, sleep soon.
Mother.
There, my little love, my angel. Try to sleep, you'll be better in the morning.
Stay with me, Mother. Don't go.
Oh, I must. Another good night kiss.
No, I'll not have this. This is unhealthy. A boy must learn to live without coddling and caresses. The time for a boy to leave his mother's bosom is when he is weaned.
He's not well. He's feverish.
Nonsense. His will is weak. No more. Control is the word. Control.
Don't leave me, Mother. Please.
Stupid boy. When will you learn? You wish to drown in a world of softness, dear. Only the weak cling to their mothers. Remember that. Leave him. There, sir. Will yourself to sleep. You need sleep. You have a hard day before you.
Good night, my dear.
Oh, enough. Come.
One cold morning, so cold there was frost on the window pane and the pitcher of washing water filmed with ice, Father came into my room, pulled down the bedclothes. By the light of a candle, he looked at my sheets.
You know what I'm looking for, don't you, sir? Don't play the innocent with me. I know your tricks.
boys of your age, entertaining your feeble little mind with voluptuous visions. Do you understand my words? Do you? I think you do, boy. Laying hands on yourself and then... You understand me now, do you not? What's this here? Dirt. The filth of it. The sin of Onan. Onan spilt his seed upon the ground, and the Lord struck him dead for it, for that was the seed that was Israel's. You spill your seed, and the Lord does not strike you. He leaves that duty to your father. Body secured in an iron brace is a secure body, free from unruliness. Is that not better than slouching like heathens over their filthy broth? And what is another word for freedom?
Control.
Good. Good. You are upright, dignified, like young princes and princesses, straight as swords. Gustav, I know you would like to slouch at table like a little sinner, but the irony is entering your backbone at last.
It hurts. Father, poor Gustav.
Nonsense.
Please, Father.
This will improve you. Spines and bones must be hard, straight. You will thank me for this. You will thank me someday.
You have heard how Johannes Brach, a musician, a man whose life should have been devoted to peace and beauty, took a knife in anger to his father and stabbed him repeatedly and savagely, even when he was already dead. I find no extenuating circumstances, no grounds for compassion or mercy. The judgment of this court... The judgment of this court is that... The judgment of this court is... The judgment of this court is that the prisoner at the bar be led away to a place of confinement and thence to a place of execution, where his head shall be severed from his body in accordance with the provisions of the laws of the state of Saxony. And may the Lord have mercy on his soul.
So the father lives on to kill the son. Remember that! You smoke-fat citizens of Dresden! The father is a monster that sprouts fresh heads whenever you cut one off. Behold the father, stern and self-righteous. Behold the monster that gives life only to take it away.
Order! Order in court!
This court stands adjourned.
Father Germany!
Sir.
Treading on some cutting
off. Your Honour, your hands are shaking.
I'm well enough, bailiff.
Sir, there's news. I'm afraid there's the most terrible news. Your brother, Gustav.
He's dead.
Yes. The most terrible fool.
I can see the moment clearly. His last few steps. The open window. Gustav looking out. He reaches the sill. He leaps. His body falls. Is this the way?
Yes, this is the way.
I see. I see my brother falling.
Your Honour, words cannot express...
No need.
The identification can be arranged at your own convenience.
Yes.
Yes, I see. Yes, I see. Father... wished him to be a Siegfried, the strong-shouldered German hero. Who knows what a hero is?
I should not be in this hospital. I'm not an insane man. I prefer to call myself a nerve case on a journey into an architecture of nerves dominated by a predatory god.
I've been chosen to redeem the world and to restore it to its lost state of blessedness. The nerves of my body contain my soul. They vibrate with sensations, pleasure, retaining the memory of impressions received.
Straighten. Come along, straight.
You can't put a straitjacket on me. I will not be restrained.
You haven't got much say in it.
Help us.
I will help you. Come on now.
You won't do it, I tell you. My body's nothing. Do what you will with my body. You can't touch my mind. My soul's free. Do you hear me? My soul is my own. My soul is me. Daniel Paul Schreiber, President of the Supreme Court of Saxony. Do you hear me?
Oh, God, this chamber pot stinks. What sort of a man plays piano while he defecates?
Waste of the body. The dirty waste of the body. And the body itself is a dirty waste without the mind. Without the soul, you can't touch my soul. Remember that? You can't swill my soul away down the sewer.
Come along, Schreiber. In the bucket, you disgust.
You must be God. You got the Father.
Tell me your name.
I know your power, but I don't know your name. You're not man, because no man can destroy my mind. Or are you the one who wished to be God and was hurled down to the pit for his effrontery? Tell me who you are. A man can only fight when he knows the name of the enemy. Whoever you are, you won't win. My soul is mine. My soul is me. I am Daniel Paul Schreiber, and you have no soul because you have no name. Devil or God the Father, tear my body all you will. Sluice my body like dirt. A sewer, but you can't tear my mind. My soul's free of you. Do you hear? Free.
Free. Free. Free.
You know me?
I know you. Our surrogate father, the great Professor Fleshing.
Not great. No, not great.
How much longer must I be tied down like this?
I have no desire to see you tied down, but you must admit you're given to a certain uncontrolled violence. Wouldn't you say that's true?
The violence isn't in me. It's in the things I remember.
Very neat. It doesn't alter the fact that you may do harm to yourself if unbound. Your precious head, crammed with legal learning, with the wisdom the law relies on. No, I think it is better that you submit to your chains.
I promise not to be violent again. I promise.
Can you so promise? Can I rely on your promise?
A cell with soft walls, padded? You must have such a thing here. This is unseemly. You're treating me like a child.
Like a child? Not the similitude I would have used. Very well, you shall be given a certain circumscribed liberty. A padded cell. Tell me, do you trust me?
You're in authority. I have to trust you. You know what is best for your child.
Good. There is, I think, a way of curing you of your irrationalities, your agitations, your unhappiness. Are you attending to what I say?
I have to attend.
Do you know the word lobotomy?
It comes from the Greek. It means cutting something, a lobe? The earlobe? I don't understand.
Now, the brain has lobes too. There at the front, on the forehead. The frontal lobes. Modern medical science believes they're the seat of much psychical disturbance. Snip them, separate them from the rest of the brain. Believe me, I have seen miracles have changed in deranged personalities. If you really wish to be made whole again...
You would cut into my brain? You would make a rude door to enter my brain. I understand cunning, but not cunning enough. Listen to me. I'm no medical expert, but I understand the nature of nerves. The nerves are the soul. Do you understand? God is the universal soul and an infinite complexity of nerves. But man is soul too, and of the same substance as God. You would sever my nerves, cut my soul to destroy it. No, little Fleshig. No lobotomy.
You call me little. Why?
You think you're God, but you're not God. I can resist you, can I not? You're not all-powerful. You may tie my limbs to this bed, but you may not enter my brain. That is God's privilege.
My psychoneural investigations have not led me to God, but rather the other way. I cannot even define God. Can you?
God is authority. God is control. Infinite. An infinite configuration of nerves. You will not cut at my nerves, little fleshig.
Good. You may be released from your bonds and transferred to cell number 3. You will have visitors, of course. Your wife?
Oh, my wife. My wife. Listen.
I hear nothing. What are you hearing?
The music of my wedding day. My young bride and I moved towards the altar. Mother in the front row, tears falling, twisting the wet ball of her handkerchief. Clara smiling kindly, happy. As we enter the new era of happiness, my dear bride and I.
Dearly beloved, we are met to join together in the bonds of holy matrimony, this man and this woman. Matrimony is a blessed and commodious sacrament, instituted by our Saviour and Redeemer for the sanctification of love and duty.
Love and duty, above all duty. I know what my duty is.
I think you know what your duty is. To continue the family line, yes, but more. To transmit to a new generation the principles I have, perhaps insufficiently, but certainly with the best of intentions, attempted to instill into you. Manliness, discipline, control. Your duty is to the race, my son, far more than to the mere family name. I expect to see springing from your loins pure Teutonic manhood. Alas, I have only you to call on. Your brother was cursed, stricken with mental and physical sickliness for which God alone knows I cannot hold myself responsible. Lost child. A broken shard, a shell. But you, my son, I place the responsibility on your shoulders. You understand?
Yes, father, but Gustav's dead.
Enough, your brother was so weak.
Yes, father.
Sabina, I want to hold you.
No, it's late. I want to sleep.
A kiss.
No, I can't. I can't, no. No.
These marks on your back, Schreiber. They look very much to me like the clawing of a woman's hands. The time has come, I think, to probe an area of some delicacy. I'm in your erotic life. Will you tell me about it?
There's nothing to tell. My wife. I can hardly touch her.
I do not mean your married life.
I need tell you nothing, Fleshig. You're not my father confessor.
No, you need tell me nothing. So I will tell you everything. Like all mature, upstanding, vigorous Teutonic males, you think you have a duty to your manhood. You visit houses of ill fame. You consort with prostitutes, disease-ridden, crawling with the destructive spirochete.
I was careful.
Syphilis, Dr. Schreiber. You knew, of course, that syphilis could bring on insanity.
I was always careful.
Careful. You, a bastion of the law of the German Empire, slobbering over dirty whores.
Moral chastisement is not in your province.
And if I see a great mind brought low with disease, am I to smile and be silent? And what of your poor wife? No, I do not think you have syphilis. God alone knows what you have.
Yes, God alone knows.
There's little need for me to recapitulate your crime in all its nauseating detail.
Why do it, then?
Nevertheless, I would point out some of the distressing circumstances of the prisoner's own background and undisciplined home life, lack of parental vigour in the dealing with the prisoner's more youthful misdemeanours.
Irrelevant.
Wipe that insolent smirk off your face.
What will you do?
Torture me, as well as kill me? You have nothing to grin about, you wretched dog. You thief, you murderer, you disgrace to German youth.
Schreiber, cease this, now. Don't argue with the prisoner. The judgment of this court is that you be led away to a place of confinement and then to a place of execution where, in accordance with the law of the Kingdom of Saxony...
A little eau de cologne, perhaps. Or some very strong hot coffee.
No, leave me. Let me fight the battle in my own way. Forgive me, you meant well. I'm grateful, believe me. It'll pass. The courtroom. Something happened in the courtroom.
You worked too hard. The responsibility's too great. Frau Goldschmidt was saying to me...
Goldschmidt's wife came here.
A social visit. And I was saying how proud I am.
She was saying how young you are. Too young, she meant. Did she talk of my anger in the courtroom? Did she talk of my resignation?
How did you know? But I told her you'd never resign. Oh, do let me give you a rub with eau de cologne.
No, it'll pass. It'll pass.
What?
I tell you, leave me alone. Sorry, my love. I'm sorry again. Yes, perhaps a little eau de cologne. Oh, thank you.
Resign.
How dare you talk of resigning, sir? Do you wish to shame me beyond the grave? You are a man of authority. You are a man of power. Hold your head up, keep your shoulders straight, stiffen your back. Resign. I never heard such blasphemous, impious, parricidal nonsense.
I've no objection to youth, so long as youth can be combined with wisdom and knowledge. For God's sake, man, you show such flagrant ignorance of the law. Oh, you know the law, but as for court procedure, I've been constrained to laugh behind the back of my hand at some of the procedural solecisms you come out with. Resign is the word, then, Schreiber. Resign is most certainly the word, yes. Resign. Resign. And that is the verdict of all of us.
Resign. Resign.
Resign.
Resign. Resign. Oh.
Sabina. Sabina, dear. Such terrible dreams.
Your headache again, dear? Shall I bring you some eau de cologne on...
No, it passes. Sleep. Sleep. I should be all right.
What are you seeing in the mirror?
I see myself sitting in my chambers. My desk is heavy with papers. The door blows open under a strong, somehow Pentecostal wind. The papers blow about. The bailiff comes in and, like a maniac, he throws the papers out of the window. We fight. We struggle. The sound of an axe. We turn to see the state executioner masked and chopping off a prisoner's head. The bailiff picks the head up off the floor. It grins at me, joyously, and then it shrieks.
What does it say?
It says, resign, resign, coming from the grimming head.
Who is it? Whose head is it?
The head is my father's. If I take
this cutthroat razor.
Please, please, Daniel, no, no.
See how the blood flows. Arterial blood into the bathtub.
Oh, God. Oh, oh, Daniel! Help! Help! Fetch the doctor!
No word of what happened will reach the newspapers. However, it is known that you are here in my clinic. A matter of headaches. I have been known to clear up headaches. The big stupid world thinks it is enough to get rid of symptoms. They confuse the symptom with the disease. You and I know better.
What's the matter with me, Dr. Fleschig?
Something in the brain.
In the mind, you mean?
Nobody has ever seen a human mind, let alone analysed it. The brain is a very different proposition. Spongy, yet solid. It yields with almost feminine softness to the investigator.
You're not going to touch my brain?
I'm not going to do anything, yet. You're to stay here and rest. Rest is a great curative. No one knows why, but it is. Rest, Dr. Schreiber.
I fell asleep on the floor of my cell and I had such a dream. Such a dream, it could have been real. Dr. Fleschig, with assistants, with bowls and knives, the frontal lobe, they call it. Dr. Fleschig plunges into my skull with knives and scalpels. I scream. And this is what they do here, dear sister. This is what the doctor wants to do.
He said he wanted to do that. To you.
He wants to take over my nerves. He wants to enter my brain and be the ruler and master of my brain. I have to get out of here. Oh,
but there is... What do they call it?
A committal certificate. You can't be released until you're cured.
Cured of what, though?
Headaches, violence, unhappiness. Can a man be cured of unhappiness? Do something, Clara.
The responsibility is your wife's, not your sister's.
She's too weak, so unconfident. No match for Dr. Fleschig.
You could, I suppose, be transferred to another clinic. This seems to be a very oppressive place. In the middle of a town slum, no light, no air. Have you heard of Sonnenstein?
I've heard of Sonnenstein, yeah, in the country. Flowers and trees, good air, please, Clara.
Very well. I will see Dr. Fleschig. Now. You cannot establish a relationship upon fear. Distrust, Dr. Fleschig.
It is the fear and mistrust that I am trying to root out. Oh,
by carrying him screaming to the operating theatre and opening his brain.
A somewhat melodramatic way of putting it. He would be under sleeping drugs, of course. Chloroform. He would feel nothing. I beg you to persuade him to grant his permission. Or in his state, his wife's permission would be enough.
No. I wish him to be discharged. As does he, as does his wife. There is nothing more for him here.
There is nothing more for him anywhere else. Good God, don't you see? Sonnenstein's a free and open place. Patients wandering the gardens, and he among them. And if he becomes violent, if he kills, whose will the responsibility be? Not yours. You are merely his sister, nor even his wife's. Mine, madam, mine.
Nevertheless, I demand his transfer to Sonnenstein.
Demand, indeed. Very well. If he must go to Sonnenstein, so be it.
Thank you, Dr. Fleschig.
Thank you.
Is that E or D?
D. Sorry, it isn't clear. How do you like it?
Brahmsian. Yes, I like it. Some of the piano writing's rather awkward.
That's because I'm a violinist, not a pianist. You can help me there.
Gladly. Should we take it from that bar?
Sorry to interrupt the recital.
Dr. Weber wishes to see you, Schreiber. Come along. Pack your fiddle up, Hanslick. Enough for one day.
Let me make it clear, Dr. Schreiber, that here you are totally safe. No one proposes to torture your body or cut into your brain.
How do you know? There may be forces here. Forces beyond your control.
I am in charge of this clinic. You look at me somewhat doubtfully. Do I not seem to you to be authoritative enough? Stern enough?
It's the destruction of my soul that I fear.
Your soul is safely locked up inside that skull of yours. A skull that none may enter.
It's at night that the fear comes. The destroyers laugh at locked doors and locked windows.
There are no destroyers. Besides, you have Muller. Muller will stand no nonsense.
Come on now, Herr Doctor. You know the rules. No piano playing at night.
I can't sleep.
Well, read then. Some nice, quiet, sleepy book.
But the headache's like fire. It burns in my eyes.
Look, Dr. Schreiber, rules are rules, and rules have to be obeyed. Sleep, And tomorrow morning, at the crack of dawn, you can have a nice recital with your friend, Hanslick, even before breakfast. There, what do you think of that?
But I want to play now.
No. Off with that dressing gown and into that bed, while I count to three. One. Two, three. Good. There's a good boy. And if I hear any more noise...
You've locked the piano.
So I did. But I meant real noise. Banging the wall and shouting. I don't even want to hear the bed springs jangling.
I'd never do that. Never. I'll be good. I promise.
Good night.
And tell me, bird, how do you worship God?
I understand. By being, just being. Being what you are.
Is that you, God?
Yes, Father. I understand. You give me light. You give me warmth. Will you give me more?
The sun spoke to me today, Hanslick.
The sun? Yes.
The sun is really God the Father. You know that, of course. But you did not know whose father. Not yours. Not Muller's. Not anybody's but mine. My father and I, his only son. The son of the sun. I only. I, the son of the eye of the day. Shall I tell you what he told me?
If you wish.
We've played music together. We are, in a sense, friends. It's right you should know of the coming of the end of the world.
Ah.
God told me, as he once told Noah, the world will be destroyed, but not this time by water. Perhaps fire. God didn't tell me. Perhaps he'll tell me later. But I am to be saved of all mankind. And I am to breed a new race. Strong, tall, courageous. Oh, the glory of it.
Schreiber, wait.
I, the father of a new breed of heroes. I, the father of the new world that is to be. I, son of the one heavenly father. I, father of the glory to come. Muller, listen.
Where are you, Muller?
Muller?
Oh, my good Schreiber! What are you doing here?
No matter, Muller. I'll go.
The most extraordinary thing. Her breasts, I touch my own. The sound she makes. She's like me in some way. My cries are her cries. What is she feeling? What am I feeling? I stroke my chest in ecstasy. I twist and turn. I feel, oh, God! And then, in the gaslight, my skin glistening. This heat is so intense. My nightshirt is soaked. My father. I hear my father coming. I fear, I protect myself, my body, and then, at the window, I breathe in the cold night air. I'm calm now. I look at the moon. I smile at the moon. We gain our light from the Heavenly Father. The Father pours his light into us, pours in the seed of his light. Do you hear me, sister? Do you hear me, Father? I'm not afraid anymore. I submit. Do what you will to me. Fill me with your seed, your warmth, your light, your strength. The seed of God is filling me.
You will die of pneumonia. Get into the bed. Get into that bed.
But I see it all now, Muller. I'm the moon, clothed in the light of the Father. My body is changing. I know what it is like to be a woman, waiting to be filled with the heavenly seed of the Father. I submit. I submit to the divine love of the Father.
We'll talk all about that tomorrow. Now sleep.
No more fear. No more fear.
I'm going to fetch Dr. Weber.
Yes. Let him hear the good news. I am free of fear of punishment, in ecstasy beneath the light of the moon. My dear son, light of the sky, I understand. I am to be the other of the new race, made not from my unworthy seed, but from yours. Muller, I need you.
Well?
Tonight is the bridal night. I must be adorned for his coming.
Oh my God.
See, here is money. Go into the town. Buy me such things as a bride should wear. Jewels, a necklace, bracelet, flowers, yes. And a ring. A ring.
Anything to keep the patient happy. Turning into a woman, are you? Oh, my God.
Yes, Father. Tonight, you will come from over the rim of the sleeping world and blaze through the darkness. I shall be waiting. Why must you watch me shaving, Muller?
To see that the razor isn't used for a lethal purpose.
I can't remember the time when I did not have a moustache. I'm not sure I like myself clean shaven.
Why shave it off then?
Phil, don't you understand? Facial hair is a manifestation of masculinity.
I see. If you've no hair on your face, you're a woman. Not necessarily true. My Aunt Elsa in Dresden has a beard. A bit thin and wispy, true, but still a beard. She's a woman, all right. Had 8 children. 2 of them died, though. So, what do I call you now? Frau Schreiber?
I've had enough of your mockery.
The time will come when you'll contort your face in torment, not in mockery, you sneering idiot. The Lord God knows how to deal with mockery.
Sorry, Herr Doctor President. Suits you. A softer look. More feminine. Yeah.
I perform the ceremony of self-adornment. Reverently, slowly I put on my ornaments. I kneel, hands joined, and I wait for the bridegroom. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Bridegroom, I am ready. In my adornment, in my necklaces and flowers, my nightshirt has the look of a woman's beautiful robe. God, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I yield myself unto you. You sleep now beyond the rim of the Western world, but you leave the moon to fulfill your office of brimming me with light. This light, this seed, let it flow into me. Your bride, making me wholly yours. Let the seed swell in me and me become the vessel of the new race. The whole world is dead about me. Filled with dead who think they are the living. You and I know better, O Heavenly Father. The living are yet to be born. Born of me, your servant, servant of the race to come. O Heavenly Father. The dead and living are one, which means the living are dead. The earth is scoured clean, ready for the coming race. It will all be set down in a book the new world may read, and the old dead world too, before it settles into its grave. The truth about you, O Heavenly Father, the truth about the divine mission of your bride and servant, the new race. Strong, fearless, hair like the sun, all gold in the sun, conquering, burning up the darkness.
You're writing a book.
The book, the one book. The divine message, the word of God.
And what does God say?
You mock me?
I never mock you.
True. And so you should be one of the saved, but you cannot be. All of the saved are to issue from this body of mine. This body sanctified by the holy seed of the Almighty.
God, to start with, is only nerve, not body. And akin, therefore, to the human soul. But the nerves of God are infinite and eternal. They possess the same qualities as human nerves, but in a degree surpassing all human understanding. Is all this true?
Of course it's true. God told me so himself.
I see. Should we play the Mozart in E-flat?
If you wish. There may be a long time of waiting yet. We may as well play the Mozart. I'm not in the mood for chess.
Then you might as well resign. You can't do much without your queen.
Yes, I play badly. The birds get in the way.
Ah, birds, is it now? What kind of birds?
Jackdaws, finches, woodpeckers. Birds of all kinds, they talk incessantly.
Did they talk sense?
They warn me. They warn of the scorpions you'll put in my head to destroy my soul. But they'll go, they say, the scorpions.
They'll recognise the purity of my soul and the holiness of my purpose. I'm not afraid.
Not much point in putting the scorpions in then, is there? Oh, pity. It's been a long job collecting them. Lovely big fat black scorpions. Their tails oozing poison.
You mock me.
Mate. No. I mate you. Look at the board if you don't believe me. Ah, Goethe. Come here.
Voila.
You stroke, caress. You have no shame. I have as much right to be a woman as you. More right, for I am to breed the new race. My skin is as soft, softer. I have the same areas of voluptuousness. I touch your skin.
Do not touch me!
I have no need to touch your skin. For I can touch my own.
Oh, put him to bed, Müller.
Yeah, bedtime, Frau. Or is it Fraulein? Has the marriage taken place yet?
Has God done his thing?
Why should I be angry? You don't exist. Your shadows, the dead. You think you're living, but you're not.
Food tastes just as good. Love feels just as good. Doesn't it, sweetheart? If this is death, I like being dead.
But when the sun of the great new race shines forth, then you'll know you're no more than shadows.
Shadows.
Oh, enough. Get rid of him, Müller. He gives me the creeps.
Time for Betty by his hair, Doctor. March.
I told you not to touch me, you creep.
Pause off. Remember who you are. God will be very angry.
I do not think it possible.
What, Mother?
Oh, you loved your father, Clara. You still love him. He is a living force, loved, known all over Germany. His ideals grow daily in strength. His greatness is everywhere acknowledged.
I do not see the connection. Father was a great man, yes, and his noble work for German youth lives on. But you started by saying that something or other is not possible.
Well, his son is in an insane asylum.
One son. The other son is dead. Continue.
Well, there is talk of his having written a book. Is that not so?
Dr. Weber says he has been writing busily. He seems much better, much calmer when he's writing, so Dr. Weber says.
Well, there is talk of his publishing this book, is there not? And Dr. Weber says there is no law that can stop him.
A mad book, you mean? The work of an obvious madman? Is that why you said impossible?
You're quick to follow me, Clara. The name Schreiber is a great one. It is already one of the immortal names of the German Empire, and now the name is to be attached to a book full of mad raving nonsense.
This is not fair, Mother. He is not mad, he is not raving. He is quiet and smiling and calm. I would say sane. Of course, he has some strange ideas.
He has some very strange ideas.
Well, he talks of God. He says that God speaks to him. Perhaps it's true. God spoke to Joan of Arc and to Saint Teresa and to Saint John of the Cross.
Well, he says that God wants him to create the new race, the master race, he calls it.
Father talked of creating the master race too. Nobody calls Father mad. He even talked of a divine mission.
But he never said that God spoke to him personally. Out of the sun and the trees and the flowers and the singing birds. Go on, Clara.
He says that he has to turn into a woman. As a man, he says he cannot be filled with the seed of God and breed the master race.
Well, now do you see? If this is not madness, what is?
Ah. So. He will publish a mad book And the world will see the name Schreber, and the name Schreber will mean madness. And the son's madness will be the father's shame. So, Mother, what do you propose?
Whatever I propose, there is no way out of great sorrow. It was through the greatness, the genius of a dear son, that the greatness and the genius of the father were shown to the world. And now the genius has become madness. The book must not be published.
Dearest Mother, when you talk of the protection of father's name, is it a great, undying love that is speaking? Is it love? Or is it a mere concern for respectability?
I will not have you talking in this manner. If your father were still alive, you would not use such insolence.
Insolence? I am a grown woman. I am no longer a little girl to be whipped and bullied and tied to a back brace.
Clara! How can you?
I am entitled to speak my mind. Did you love father?
Of course. How can you ask such a thing?
I love the bullying and the nagging and, yes, the cruelty. The rubbish about the great Germany to come and the glory of German youth.
He loved us so. He believed in what he taught. Your father was a great man. A great German. You ask if I loved him. I took his name. His name is still my glory. That name is to be protected. Clara, I think you know what your duty is.
Make Daniel stop writing?
To persuade him to stop. Stop this dream of publishing a mad, shameful book about the voice of God and the end of the world and the coming of the new race.
A book, in other words, about Father's glorious vision.
We must seek a court injunction.
Against the book?
No, child, where is your sense? An injunction against his continuing to be responsible for administering the family property. Before we know it, we will be penniless. My house will be sold and my bonds cashed and the money will go to spreading his nonsensical gospel. I expect your support in all this, Clara.
I will have no part in it. Sabina is his wife. Let her decide.
She has no right to decide about the family property. As for the other thing, the book, tomorrow she must speak to Dr. Weber.
It seems to me, Frau Schreber, that you do not appreciate the most remarkable advance, breakthrough, hope, yes, hope that it represents. Your husband is setting it all down, most lucidly, most rationally, even eloquently. He is learning to understand his own sickness. As for the medical world, it will be a revelation. The sick man tells of his own sickness.
But he is still sick.
Oh, yes, very sick. Though, sometimes I wonder how one draws the line between sickness and health. Was Napoleon Bonaparte sick or sane? Who can tell? Was not Jesus Christ put to death as a criminal madman? All I can say of your husband is that he has ideas that other men do not have. My profession tells me to make him like other men, if I can. But I have hopes that he is learning to cure himself.
His family sent me to you. The mother fears that a great name will be made a laughingstock throughout all Germany. You understand? The name Schreber meant honour and patriotism and so on. Now it must mean nonsense.
Every man must protect his own name, Frau Schreber, if he is alive to do so. He cannot indemnify himself against what posterity will do to his name. All names must take their chance. I'm sorry. If he wishes to publish, I must be the last person in the world to stop him. But talk to him. Talk to him by all means, if he will listen.
Why can't you sit down and listen to me? What are you doing?
I wish to write, Sabina, dear. This is your presence here. It's intrusive.
Don't you see the pain I'm in? Don't you know what you're doing to me? As well as your mother and your sister?
How is Clara?
Heartbroken.
I don't believe it.
What will people say of me? Married to a man who tells the world of God speaking to him and the end of the world coming and, oh, please, tear it all up for my sake. I'm your wife who loves you.
No, I don't believe you are my wife. My wife is probably dead by now, as all the world is dead or dying. You are a creature made by one of the demons of the lower world. Evil, yes, but possessed only of a fleeting life like a moth or a butterfly. Soon to be pounded under the heel into ash. Now, I must carry on with my work.
You won't be able to publish. You'll have no money to pay for publishing it. Your mother is taking the administration of the estate from you. She's going to court.
Fly away to the netherworld. You bore me.
Oh, God, Daniel.
At last. Now I can write. I feel your warmth. You are here. The work is near its end, Heavenly Father.
A visitor for you. With news from the little world outside.
I don't think...
Beck, Messer, bailiff of the court. Your Honour, I'm afraid I bring bad news.
Break it gently. Very gently. Herr Schreiber is very sensitive.
The Supreme Court of Dresden has agreed
to me resuming my old position. They come too late. I have far greater work in hand.
Bad news, I said. They've agreed to the injunction. Your mother requested an injunction. You're now forbidden everything, Your Honour. You've no right to money or anything. I've come straight from the court to tell you. I'm sorry, Your Honour. I'm very sorry.
My mother, my sister, these phantoms, those flimsy souls, creations of the demons of the lower world, but evil, yes. God told me they were evil. They would put me in chains, forbid my freedom. Now, you see, Muller? You who laughed and joked and mocked me, the evil forces are closing in. They will enter my skull and feed on my soul. Oh God, Father, intensify your fires. Shrivel them, dissolve them as the morning mists are dissolved. Burn out their evil. Burn it out.
Is everything in order?
They're not evil, man. They're nothing. A bunch of stupid women. No more. You could eat them before breakfast and still have an appetite. Which reminds me, dinner tonight with Dr. Weber and his family. Get yourself tidy. Try to quiet down a bit.
Dinner? Yes. Opportune. He'll understand. He'll listen. Thank you, old friend. Come and see me again.
Yes. Yes, Herr Schreiber. Thank you. I did my duty, didn't I? Bringing the news, I mean.
Burn them. God. Noonday phantoms. Dirt of the demons of the netherworld.
All right, enough of that now. Save it for Dr. Weber. After dinner, though.
You approve?
When men perform sane acts, I'm bound to approve.
I've not forgotten the law. Indeed, I've not forgotten anything. I shall fight the injunction with every weapon of the law that I can find.
More coffee, Herr Schreiber.
Thank you.
I think not, my dear. Herr Schreiber is stimulated enough already.
The first task of the court is to consider the premises of their act. I may not, they say, exercise my free will in the direction of affairs. And why not? Because, they hear, I am the victim of mad notions and senseless hallucinations. But let them first examine what they call the madness and see how mad it is. Point number one. God has called on me to change the world, but only if I change myself to a woman first. Is such a change impossible? Is not medical history full of cases of men who have changed their sex?
I will leave the table now.
Yes. Good night, my dear.
Good night, Herr Schreiber.
Give me examples. You're a medical man.
Hmm. Bonicelli in Milan. Grigson in Scotland. Tedesco Piccolomini.
Christ was born of a virgin. Is that madness?
St. John the Baptist was born of a woman past the menopause. Mythology is full of gods who give birth out of their heads, like Jupiter. Is not the Indian god Brahma both masculine and feminine at the same time?
Continue.
Continue.
If it please the court, the point I'm trying to make, some will say with excessive grandiloquence and heat, is that whatever the nature of my illness, it has in no way damaged the clarity of my judgment. I am as confident as ever as I was in my capacity to manage my own affairs. You have before you, Your Honour, a written testimony to my soundness of intellect, a book of some length, not ill-written, in my view, argued with some cogency.
The court is not disposed to question the competence of either the style or the mode of argument. It is the premises, the ideas, that point to derangement, and derangement argues an inability to be trusted with the conduct of...
You talk of derangement. Who are you to talk of derangement in a sphere of argument where you have no competence to judge? My book is a philosophical work, a theological work even, not a dry, dusty tome of legal precedents. May I, Your Honour, ask the public prosecutor some questions?
Is this really necessary?
I am happy to take questions.
Considering the unusual nature of the proceedings, one more unusual procedure may as well be admitted.
First then, sir, do you believe in miracles?
That is hardly a question that accords...
Are you a Christian?
Of course. A good son, I hope, of the Holy Lutheran Church.
Which means that you believe in miracles?
Well, yes, I suppose.
Which is as much to say that you believe in an all-powerful God capable of subverting the laws of nature to his own ends. Could God destroy the world if he wished?
I suppose so, but it hardly seems likely.
Did God speak to Moses, to Joshua, to Isaiah, to the prophets and the saints, to the leader and founder of our faith? Do you believe that?
Well, I do, in a sort of symbolic...
Could God, if he wished, speak to an ordinary German citizen such as myself?
It hardly seems likely that God...
Yes or no, sir?
Well... Yes.
Speaking of the coming downfall of man and the arising on the ashes of the old world, a new world of heroes.
I suppose so.
Do you admit that God prefers some members of the human race to others? Some races and nations to other races and nations?
Well, the Bible was a long time ago.
Time is nothing to the Almighty, sir. When I say that God will choose our German race with which to build a new world of heroes, that God will choose certain members of our German race to lead it forward to the new light, am I speaking nonsense? Is Richard Wagner mad with his Siegfried and Brunhilde and his dream of the Teutonic Superman? Was my father mad? I have little more to say, Your Honour. I submit that I have given sufficient proof of my lucidity of mind. I submit also that what may be loosely called madness may be nothing more than originality or genius. The term mad has been applied throughout history to uncommon sanity. What has been termed my delirium, my derangement, I am content to bequeath to competent scientific minds, perhaps yet unborn, for their analysis and judgment. My book may yet be considered a turning point in the history of the human mind. Meanwhile, I respectfully claim my rights as a free German citizen. I wish to manage my own affairs.
May it please the court. I have read with interest, that changed rapidly to bewilderment and, may I say, distaste, this manuscript of Herr Schreiber's that has been submitted to the court. And I will say this, that a man may reason coolly and logically, but frequently on false premises. And as such, madness may not sound like madness. A man may say that all cats are white, and then logically infer that even black cats are white. Logical, yes, but hardly sane. It suffices for me to point out the manifest danger to the author himself in considering the publication of this work. He must face, I fear, criminal charges of obscenity. He writes of the human genitalia, of how the penis may change into a vulva. He has a strange, wordy theory about the transference to a male body of zones of what he terms female voluptuousness. But my essential plea, so far as the book is concerned, concerns our accepted moral standards, against which Herr Schreiber unnecessarily blasphemes. And more than that, the suffering which must ensue to a family which, I submit, has already suffered more than enough. I would submit that both the obscenity and extravagance of this work spring from derangement, and that the same derangement militates against the court's granting the appellant the rights to the management of his affairs. He is a sick man. The place of a sick man is in a hospital ward, not the busy world of human action. The Kingdom of Saxony rests its case.
Mad? The expansion of the German Empire? Then I must be mad too. I believe in those things. Europe is decaying. The only hope is this God-given message Schreiber has written about.
Nobody suggests that the belief is mad, but this business of talking to the birds.
My dear Hauptmann, Sir Francis talked to the birds. He also talked about Sister Moon and Brother Sun.
But all this about God, speaking out of the sun and the stars.
Read Goethe, read Schiller. That kind of thing is praised in our universities as high poetry. What you call madness looks in common like poetic inspiration to me.
I will confess my personal dislike of the man, which antedates his committal to the asylum.
But doesn't antedate his appointment as president of the Supreme Court.
That is unworthy, very unworthy. You will withdraw that remark.
Herr Goldschmidt, I withdraw that remark.
The point I am making is that we must be totally fair, totally unprejudiced.
Naturally.
And as such, we have to admit indubitably that his behavior in court today was highly rational. Let me put it this way. He is a sick man, and may be a mad one, but he is a highly rational sick man.
But can he look after his property? That's the issue.
The property has never legally been out of his hands. Well, there's absolutely no evidence of incompetence. Rather the opposite. Care, frugality. It's the mother, of course, worried about the desecration of the name Schreiber, trying to stop the book being published.
He cannot do that. A charge may be brought against the book. Libel, obscenity, treason, what you will. But the book has to be published first.
His readers will know he's mad.
There are a lot of mad books about. Shakespeare's plays, Goethe's Faust.
Well,
the poems of Holderlin, William Blake. Need I go on?
Yes.
There have been a lot of madmen about too. Jesus, Isaac Newton, Richard Wagner, Schreiber the Elder.
I think he really was mad.
Right, then. We'd better do something about drawing up a judgment. The court is in no doubt that the appellant is insane. One would not wish to argue with him whether, in fact, he suffers from a mental illness known as paranoia. Even now, he holds fast to the conviction that God manifests himself to him directly and continuously performs his miracles on him. The conviction, as he says himself, towers high above all human insights, all science. But placing under tutelage is justified only when mental illness is so severe that it prevents the patient from managing all affairs, like a child under the age of 7. The mental illness of the plaintiff is not, judging by medical evidence, of such severity. The Court of Appeal has therefore arrived at the conviction that the plaintiff is capable of dealing with the demands of life in those spheres whose orderly regulation is the object of the law. This means that he may return freely to the bosom of his family and to the management of his affairs. The tutelage thus inflicted on the plaintiff is rescinded herewith, without entering into new evidence by witnesses offered by him. The decision on costs rests on Civil Code Clause 673.
Justice, my sanity is beyond reproach.
There's no need to lock it in the safe.
The manuscript is the proof, Sabina, proof of my sanity. It'll get published, the world will see.
The lease on our house expires at the end of August. Can we not go back home? I can even ask the tenants to leave earlier.
The son must take the place of the father. It is right that I be here, in my father's house. Where's my mother?
Upstairs. She's waiting for you.
So, Mother.
Daniel.
I'm home. Are you well? A man in the house again. A man in charge of the house. Very cold in here, Mother. Very cold. Gustav?
It hurts, Father. Please.
Father, no!
This will improve you. Even in sleep, we must be in control of our bodies. Spines and bones must be hard, straight. A body secured in an iron brace is a secure body, free from unruliness. Iron is entering your backbone at last. You will thank me for this. You will thank me someday. A rigid posture, my son. A backbone of steel. The new Germany, my son. Heroes with steel backbones. Here is my latest invention. Not for external application, much too superficial. This enters the body by way of the mouth. Down,
all the way down.
I think it has reached rock bottom.
Daniel, it's the middle of the night.
I need to check my manuscript. Safe. Thank goodness. So you like it?
Like it? It's the highlight of our spring list. Stocked in every bookshop in town. The story of a nerve case. Memoirs of my nervous illness. You know, I thought about putting the word mad into it, but decided that would have been going too far. People might think it was a work of fiction. And it's not, is it?
It's the truth. The whole truth. My name is Schreiber. Daniel Paul Schreiber.
Yes?
I don't see any copies of my book here. It came out last Thursday. Memoirs of My Nervous Illness.
Oh, that. Yes, we had copies. We've sold them all. We put in a new order. Oh,
this is the fifth bookshop I've checked. All the same, I wanted another copy for my mother.
Or perhaps you could try the warehouse.
My name is Schreiber, Daniel Paul Schreiber.
Oh, yes, the author.
The bookshops are complaining of a certain difficulty in obtaining fresh copies of my book.
Quite right. We're out of copies. There's been no order for reprinting yet. Somebody came in only yesterday to buy up the entire stock.
Somebody?
Who? We've got the order book here.
Just a moment. Wasn't you, was it? Schreiber's a name. Frau Schreiber.
I don't understand.
I do understand.
Mother, Sabina.
Daniel, you frightened me. Why are you sitting in the dark?
There are black smuts on your face, Sabina. I can smell the odour of sanctity, Mother. We commit to the flames this abominable blasphemy.
Who told you?
I guessed. And then I thought logically, as I always do, as I do in that book you burned, Mother. Let us destroy. Paper burns easily, as centuries of European Christian civilization tell us. We commit to the flames. I can destroy too, Mother. I can destroy the destroyers of my soul. Fine gothic weapon to keep out intruders. Father was always ready for intruders, but I know how to deal with intruders. Demons disguised as things, emblems of respectability, signs of the old way, desperately trying to keep itself alive!
Oh, you must fetch the police, Sabina.
I can't. Kill me.
Is it the soddy?
Now, Sabina, now.
Black scorpions. Ready to burrow into my skull, but you'll dissolve to nothing against the shining rock of my purity, my intelligence, my greatness. I am the chosen of God.
Thank you for seeing me, Dr. Weber. He seems settled now.
It works better that way. Persuasion, not force. He saw your point, Fräulein Schreiber.
He was always willing to listen to me. He'll be happy enough here. Waiting, as he says. Will he ever be cured?
Science has a long way to go. All we can say of madness, paranoia, and those terms are vague, probably meaningless. All we can talk of is escape. Herr Schreiber has escaped from a conflict he cannot bear. Madness is escape.
What conflict?
Who knows? But one of these days, someone will tell us. Meanwhile, we have that book of his. Such courage. Such clarity of vision.
Played the funeral music of a dying civilization. I await the time when I shall bring forth the new age of heroes. Flame-haired, muscular, ruthless, world-conquering. I, the bride in my wedding dress, await the seed of the Heavenly Father. I wait in patience, kneeling before you, Almighty Father. Brightest of suns, shine down on me. All is in your hands.
Schreiber was played by Christopher Eccleston, Sabina by Nadia Albina, Dr. Weber by Don Gillet, Dr. Fleschig by David Annan, Muller by Guy Rees, Hanslick by Ashley Jangaja, and Mother by Chetna Pandya. The pianist was James Longford and the violinist Felicity Broom Skelton. Thanks to Andrew Biswell and the International Anthony Burgess Foundation. Schreiber was written by Anthony Burgess and adapted for radio by Jeff Young. The producers were Polly Thomas and Eloise Whitmore. It was a Naked production for BBC Radio 3.
Next week's drama takes us back to Elizabethan England for the story of Sir Robert Cecil and his black Muslim servant Fortunatus, a refugee from Spain who takes drastic action to change the course of history. The Moors of England by Rex Urbano is our drama next Sunday evening at 7:30. And you can find more recent editions of Drama on 3 to listen to on BBC Sounds.
Some of the most sublime chamber music ever written.